This is the Ian Furness Show.
Took Kelnick out of the game. He's had a little tightness in his quad or up by his hip or something. The training staff just said, yeah, probably best to get him out, so we did that. But it was Tom Murphy. This is a bit of forearm tightness in his left forearm, so that's why he was a late scratch today also.
Text us at 49451 and hit the talkback mic on the iHeartRadio app.
With the 10th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Devin Bush, linebacker, Michigan.
There you go, Devin Bush. To be honest with you, one of the fastest players at the position I've seen since I've been watching Michigan, since I went to the school there in 1986. And he's going to go out there, and if you try and mess with him pregame, he's going to stomp on your logo, and he's going to go hunt somebody down for you.
This is the new Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.
I don't even know what the open was. I was talking to Softy. I was distracted there. What do we have? Scott Service talking about
Scott
Kelnick.
Service says that he took Jared Kelnick out of yesterday's game after just one at-bat out of precautionary due to tightness in his quad. He also explained the fact that he late scratched Tom Murphy because of tightness in his forearm. And then we had going back to Joe Green announcing Devin Bush's draft pick, Rich Eisen.
Be Joe Green.
Talking about the personality you were getting in someone like that. That okay. He will scuff up your logo and will go after people for you.
Yeah, well, he hasn't done any of those things. Since he's been in the pros, yes. and that was courtesy of the Mariners Media Postgame and NFL Network. I was trying to explain to Softy the wild card in the NHL.
You know what? We were willing to make that sacrifice for the soft one.
Seattle would take on Dallas in the first round right now, Vegas and Winnipeg, and then it would be Colorado, Minnesota, L.A., and Edmonton. So he's like, oh, they're going to play Edmonton. They play L.A.? No. We'll get to that. We got Daily Power Play coming up a little bit later on as well. Whew! Heavy sigh. A Kevin Shockey heavy sock.
Oh, no. Somebody had to adopt it. I didn't want to do that as part of my role.
This is a warning.
Uh-oh.
To the listeners. I'm not in a great mood today. All right? Not in a good mood. Antagonized. Do not antagonize me more, people. All right? I don't know who I'm speaking to. Actually.
You realize that that was just a dare for everyone right outside this door.
I know. I know. Okay, we've got headlines coming up in a second. Big show. Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. We'll check in with him in just a couple minutes. A special daily power play. I take a step back from the joking. Well, we have a special one I want to get to coming up at 1:45 today. That means a lot to a lot of us here that cover the sport, been around the sport for a while in this area. So we'll get to that coming up at 1:45. Maybe even ask for your help a little bit. Some great audio from Nick Saban. I don't even know if it's a veiled shot at his basketball coach at Alabama at Nate Oates. I think it's just like a direct shot over the bow.
Yeah.
Right? Just like.
There was no veiling of anything.
That's a right-hand cross that was like not even a sucker punch. You could see it coming. Here it is. So we'll do that coming at 1:30. And then our guy, Gary Parrish. I have a feeling he's going to be fantastic today. March Madness is unbelievable. All of that coming up. We got Seahawks conversation with Palazzolo, but first let's get to headlines. Here we go.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJRFM Sports Headlines.
Brought to you by VenueKings, VenueKings.com. Jared Kelnick left yesterday's Mariners game after just one at-bat. Scott Service, you heard him there a moment ago. Quad tightness. Who doesn't have that? Anders, you're a soccer player. I'm sure you have quad tightness.
Oh, yeah. After every game, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I had quads, I had it too. that's years ago. Seahawks have cut Al Woods. Tweeted out a thank you, did the Seahawks as well. Jess, you looked back. Who have they tweeted out thank yous to?
It was Quentin Jefferson, Shelby Harris, and I'm going along the defensive line here. And then Al Woods.
That usually means you're done. If there was hope to come back, I think that's kind of like a sign of like we're not probably bringing you back.
They also tweeted out thank yous to Rashad Penny and to Travis Homer. So that means those are absolutely final because they signed with other teams.
Else, yeah.
So if you want to look into it that way, yeah.
Cam Newton throwing in front of teams at Auburn's Pro Day today. 2 years since he last played in the National Football League. God, was one of his last games here in Seattle when he was playing for the Patriots? I think it was in an empty stadium.
Ooh, I was at that game.
Were you on the sidelines that game?
Yeah,
I thought so.
Actually, in the stands, but
oh, you were in the
because you don't you
oh,
couldn't
God,
be on the sidelines.
Right.
You had to be in the stands.
Your sideline reporting is actually stands reporting
because there were no fans.
Yeah. NFL owners expect to finalize an extension of Roger Goodell as well today. So all that's going on. World Baseball Classic title game is tonight. USA Japan. It's on FS1 and huge hockey game tonight for the Kraken, and they have got to start getting points, people. They did got no help last night from Edmonton. The Oilers came back and from a third period deficit, win in overtime with 14 seconds left to go, despite James Reimer being fantastic. San Jose gave up a fight. They put up a fight. It would have been nice just to get the one. They get 2 points out of that one. Calgary lost, though, last night to LA. That's a good thing for Seattle in the sense you're not going to catch LA probably anyway, but Calgary is on your heels. So that was some good news. They take on the Dallas Stars tonight. 5 o'clock pregame, 5:30. The drop of the puck. Let's get to our guy, Steve Palazzolo.
It's time to do a deep dive into the numbers and the grades around the NFL with Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus. Our weekly look at PFF.com is brought to you by Cascade Ice and Wired X 344 Energy Drink. Are you looking for a caffeine kick? Try a refreshing locally made 16-ounce can of Cascade Ice Sparkling Water with 160 milligrams of caffeine, no carbs, sugar, or sodium. But if you're looking for more of a kick, grab a locally made can of Wired X 344 Energy Drink loaded with 344 milligrams of caffeine. Now from Pro Football Focus with a look inside the numbers, here's Steve Palazzolo with Ian Furness.
Big thanks to our good friends at Cascade Ice Water. Cascade Ice Water, X344 as well. You need a little caffeine kick, whether it's the X344 or just the Cascade Ice Water organic caffeine. They're both there for you in your local grocery stores. Look for them there. Local company, great taste. For the most part, if you go with the caffeine kicks, no calories in a lot of those. Just caffeine, no sugar, no calories, no carbs. That's good. Gluten-free, too, which you like all that. Jess is waiting. Lothian, if you're listening, we're waiting for some. Jessamine is...
I'm kind of addicted to them, and I've been substituting it with another beverage.
Yeah, including today's a Diet Coke or something, right? Is that what I'm looking at?
Coke Zero.
Coke Zero,
cherry.
Yeah.
Cherry.
Yeah. So, Lothian, if you're listening, let's go, fella. Come on by. Palazzolo's going to get some delivered to his house, I think, any day now. Could be any second, I'm told. So, you got a fresh supply coming in for you, getting ready for the draft, my friend. How are you?
Doing great. Can't wait. Yes, I'll be ready for the new drink.
Let me do this. Let me start with this. Seahawks, we're going to get to linebackers in a second in the draft. We're having Steve on leading up to the draft to talk draft and PFF. PFF.com does a ton of great stuff with the NFL draft. We're going to talk linebackers in a moment, but I'd like to get your thoughts on a couple of the additions since we last spoke for the Seattle Seahawks. Let's start first, and it's interesting because we've had mixed reviews. Well, I don't think we've had mixed reviews. I think we've had all kind of whatever review for the most part when we hear the name Devin Bush, which is wild because Devin Bush, we'll start with him. He comes out of college, number 10 overall pick, a lot of fanfare, had a pretty good rookie season, tore his ACL, but really has certainly never lived up to that number 10 draft pick or even the fact that they moved up to get him to Pittsburgh. So what does PFF think about Devin Bush?
Yeah, he just he never really did live up to the hype. And remember, the Steelers, they went up to go get him. They went up and got him at number 10. They traded up and just disappointed in Pittsburgh. He's extremely fast. He's actually very similar to Devin White, who went, I believe, was the same draft at 5 overall. And then Bush goes at 10, really fast, straight line speed. He's still a pretty good blitzer. You know, he can create some pressure, create some havoc as a blitzer, but run game has been a serious issue for Devin Bush. Just, gets blocked far too often in the run game. And beyond that, just he was supposed to be this kind of a game-changing coverage linebacker. And, you know, again, he's just been okay in that area. So I think, you know, heading into year 5, taking a shot on a Devin Bush and seeing if you can, you know, get him to maybe live up to his, you know, to his traits, I think it's worth a shot. But certainly he's disappointed as a former, you know, number 10 overall pick through 4 years.
This to me just screams Pete Carroll reclamation project. Like this is like if Pete Carroll said, just if John Schneider says, Pete, what would you like? Like, give me what's your favorite project in the world? Like taking a guy that's got immense talent. And listen, you're drafting the top 10, right, Steve? If you're drafting the top 10, there's a lot of stuff there. There's a lot to work with right there. There's a lot of clay to mold. but never has worked out for whatever reason. That's a Pete Carroll. He loves that because when he came out of college, I'm sure you guys had him ranked pretty high.
Yeah, we had him as a first round player, and he ran 4.43 at the combine. He was really high as far as three cone, 20-yard shuttle, as far as percentiles go against linebackers. 41-inch vertical, like all of the measurables were great. He was productive at Michigan, just never really panned out in Pittsburgh. So, yes, absolute reclamation project for Pete.
A guy we know well is Jaron Reed. He was also signed by the Seahawks. And, boy, if you look at his year-by-year numbers, they're pretty incredible. Like, and listen, he's an interior lineman, so he's not an edge rusher, but he's a guy that should give you some pass rush inside. Can be pretty good against the run, I believe. But when I mention his numbers, it's like this is a guy that will have one or two sacks. Oh, pop for 10.5 sacks with Frank Clark's help. Pop for 6.5 sacks, 8.5 sacks, and then do nothing for another year or two. Where is Jaron Reed on the PFF world?
He's a good, solid defensive tackle. It's interesting because everybody hears me on the show all the time talking about stop looking at sack totals. There's better measures of pass rush performance. And I think Jaron Reed is just a perfect example. What you just described, 10 sacks one year, one the next, 11 one year, two the next. That has all occurred with him, Jaron Reed, putting up very similar pass rush grades. Very similar grades. He's been in the 53 to 60 range each of the last 4 years for us. That's average to slightly below average as a pass rusher, against interior defensive linemen. And then the sack totals just tend to fluctuate. That's why you don't say, hey, this guy's a 10 sack guy. Let's go pay him like that. So he's fine. He's a good, I think he's more of a rotational player maybe than he's been over the last couple of years. But the market for defensive tackles has been pretty strong. Guys that give you 600 to 800 snaps, and Reed has played 700 plus snaps in each of the last 3 years. So he's a good solid player. Just don't look at the sack totals to say he's either good or bad. Either way, he's just been pretty good, pretty consistently for the last 4 or 5 years.
Run defense, how's that?
It's actually similar. We had him with a 59 grade last year, 54 the year before. He was in the 60s for a few years prior to that. I had slightly higher expectations for him coming out of Bama as a second-round pick, back in 2016. But solid both sides, essentially, and, not great either way, either run game or pass rushing.
And finally, Julian Love, safety, which, this got people all revved up here in Seattle, like, oh, are they going to cut Jamal Adams? Are they going to cut, Quandre Diggs? They'd have to wait for both those guys, I think, till June 1st if they were to save some money. Is he going to come in and replace those guys? To me, I think he's just an addition for a team that actually went through a lot of safeties last year. But he's not just a safety, right? Like, he's all over the place.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you say safety, they can do so many different things. And I know there might be some more linebacker in Jamal Adams' future too. But Julian Love, came out of Notre Dame as an outside corner who has played in the slot and at free safety and at strong safety, really everywhere for the Giants. That he had a very good year last year, really a career year as far as playing time and coverage grade and what he was able to bring to the table for the Giants. So I like Julian Love quite a bit. I think he's pretty versatile, versatile in coverage. Again, he's good in and around the line of scrimmage as a zone player. He's pretty good in the slot. So I think he can do a couple different things for you. So I think it's just adding a versatile piece. And again, safety by name, but we've seen the Seahawks use three safeties at a time. Maybe there's just a lot more flexibility that the defense has now with Julian.
All right. And then Steve Palazzolo joining us from Pro Football Focus, PFF.com. They do a terrific job. Boy, if you click on the NFL draft tab for PFF, I can just tell you right now, you're a draft Nick and you like the draft, you can go down a rabbit hole for hours and hours and hours, and it's pretty good. I want to talk to Steve today about linebackers, and I guess I better start with this. How do you break down linebackers in PFF? Because I'm going to get to who the number one guy is in a second. But in today's NFL, you've got edge rushers who some teams may call linebackers. Well, you used to call them defensive ends or pass rushers. So when I say linebacker for PFF in terms of the draft, are we talking basically just stack linebackers, correct?
Yes. Yeah, we try to lump the old school 3-4 outside linebacker as an edge rusher. So he's really a pass rusher. I believe ESPN still lumps them together And even the NFL actually lumps them together for Pro Bowl voting, which is kind of ridiculous. But we do separate guys who are every down pass rushers, essentially, from guys that are stack off the ball type of linebackers. So your Wills, your Sams, and your Mikes, those are what we're considering linebackers here.
Well, let me just start with number one, and this is not scripted, this is not rehearsed, this is not something, people are going to call me a homer, and that's fine, but the number one ranked guy, according to PFF, unless it's changed, last week I brought this up, and you go, Ian, it's changed, I hit refresh and everything, Palazzolo, it's, my subscription's good to go and all that, out of Washington State University, Deion Headley, big board rank number 38, number one stack linebacker, huh? See, I know I have you on for a reason. Go Cougs. I love this.
Go Cougs.
That is currently correct, yeah. So the easiest way to get this, PFF.com, basically just search the PFF draft board. We have a nice little place we could sort by position and all that fun stuff. But, yeah, Henley, number one. I think our board is a combination of our metrics, but also Mike Renner, who does our kind of solidifies our official rankings. He's got Henley number one. Of course, former receiver, runs around and plays like that. I think there's a few linebackers like that in this class who are just crazy athletic. Because, you know, we don't have Henley even as a first-rounder necessarily, or at least not a top 32 player, we'll say, in the draft at the moment. So I think it just shows the linebacker class a little bit on the weaker side. But I think there are players that project to be pretty good. I think Henley's one of those guys, right? I mean, you see him on film. He moves extremely well, and he's, again, somewhat young at the position. I think that's all kind of baked in to the evaluation that we could see Henley as a guy whose best football is ahead of him at a challenging position like linebacker. But even as a sixth-year player, I think there's definitely room to grow.
Yeah, and he'd be a Will linebacker, I believe, in the NFL, not a middle linebacker. I think Jack Campbell from Iowa is your highest middle linebacker. Trenton Simpson for Clemson, I think, is also a Will, correct? He's number two. And then you go Jack Campbell. Maybe you just talk about those two dudes.
Yeah, so Jack Campbell, he's probably my favorite of the group. He is definitely your closest, just pure middle linebacker. You know, he's 249 pounds. He's 6'4", 6'5", and then ran a ridiculous 6.743 cone. Basically, anything under 7 is really good almost at any position, but especially a linebacker at 6'5", just about 250. So Campbell is a unique athlete. Like, I was looking in our database. We can't find anybody that looks like him. It doesn't always show up on film. He looks kind of oversized at times against undersized line running backs, but I like Campbell a lot. I think he plays the run really well. He's got a ton of experience playing coverage in Iowa's zone-heavy scheme, so I'm a big fan of Campbell. I think he's probably your quote-unquote safest prospect as far as, hey, you know what you're going to get from him, which is a good all-around player. Henley's a really good athlete, and then when you look at Trenton Simpson, similar to Henley, where it's just the athleticism just pops. He's kind of like Devin Bush as well, 4.43. So he's got that almost 4.4 speed with a really good change of direction. He will track down ball carries in a hurry. You see him peeling off his pass rushes and just tracking down quarterbacks when they scramble. That's an extremely valuable tool to have in the toolbox these days in today's NFL. But Simpson's, again, former top recruit who's still learning the position a little bit. He'll run into some blocks and, you know, have some issues in coverage and seeing things and everything. So I think that kind of sums up the linebacker class. There's a lot of good athletes who have room to grow at a very challenging position. But Simpson, much like Henley, just bring this athletic profile that says, hey, if you give these guys a shot, they could turn into some pretty good players.
I'm going to go back to just for a second to Jack Campbell. What, 6'5", 6'6"? Is that what he said he is as a middle linebacker?
I think it was 6'5", officially, 6'5", or 6'4", either one. He's tall.
So he's not, I mean, as you mentioned, you're trying to go like find a comp and stuff. And I mean, that's what we do. That's the NFL draft's all about the comps. Like, who does this guy remind you of? And as you're saying that, I'm thinking to myself, and listen, this is a massive reach maybe because the guy was one of the best ever. He's in the Hall of Fame, but like, I'm trying to think the last tall, really long middle linebacker was it Urlacher? Like, I'm sure I'm missing somebody, but I'm thinking of an impactful guy. Is he Urlacher-like at all?
I think maybe not that level of athlete, even though, the testing was really, really good for Campbell. I don't know if it shows up on tape like it did with Urlacher. Tremaine Edmonds is pretty tall and long. I actually think Jack Campbell would be a good replacement for Tremaine Edmonds, the Bills linebacker that just signed in Chicago. Mm. But, yeah, it's a – it's a different kind of body type for today's linebackers, because you just see so many of your 6'1", 225, 230-pound linebackers. They're showing up more and more. And even Urlacher back in the day was like a safety hybrid type of player coming out of New Mexico. Campbell is as old school looking of a linebacker with just a little bit more height. So,
yeah.
It is. It's a different body type, definitely, compared to a lot of the other top linebackers in the draft.
Yeah, and Urlacher was a safety in college who also returned kicks and punts. By the way, like his
he can do it all.
Yeah, when he was awesome. At New Mexico, I was lucky enough to watch him. I was down in Salt Lake at the time and watch him in person a couple times in the old Mountain West with BYU and Utah. And he was, I mean, it was like this dude's like the most incredible athlete on the field and did everything. He was kind of a throwback in that sense. And then finally, one other guy I want to mention. Noah Sewell is ranked number 8 in your big board, number 105. So that makes him what, a third round pick possibly. And the write up says schemes that blitz their linebackers and use them as hole players will covet Sewell's services. All others should look elsewhere. Our friend Noah Sewell from Oregon, kind of a one trick pony, like, you know, blitz and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the book on him at this point. I think, you know, grading wise, he was pretty consistent, low 70s in college. So, you know, as Renner lays out there, pass rush grade was solid, run defense, a bit of a question, coverage was just okay. So, Sewell's kind of up and down in college. So I think that's why we have him, in that third round range at the moment.
Yeah. I'm surprised. I'm just trying to think, I'm looking at his number. I think he could have come back. I'm sure he could have come back. Well, everybody could have come back for another year because of COVID, right? I feels like that's a guy that just probably would have benefited from one more year, but you know what? The rest of the Pac-12 is happy he's gone to the NFL. PFF, PFF.com. You can go check everything out there. As I mentioned, Deion Henley. See, that's why PFF's smart. Got him number one, but there is a little risk reward there with him, right? As you mentioned, Campbell's the no risk guy. But Henley may be a little bit more of a guy that you have some questions about.
Yeah, I mean, and there's really only one, you know, he had a decent year at Nevada and then just, you know, a good year last year. It's not a ton of production from Henley, but young at the position, moves like a former wide receiver. Those are interesting things to invest in to see if he can continue his development.
My friend, thank you. PFF, PFF.com, Pro Football Focus. And again, we are a pro football draft craze city out here. So I would urge people to go subscribe to PFF, PFF.com, very affordable and a great deal, great resource for you for the next year as well, and into the NFL season as well. Thank you, Steve.
Yep, thank you. Appreciate it.
There you go, Steve Palazzolo. By the way, you can find our good friends at Cascade Ice Water and the X344 in Western Washington at your local Hagen stores, Safeway, Albertsons, and QFC. We'll take a break, come back. Nick Saban doesn't say a lot of things he doesn't mean. And yesterday he had some words that were probably directed at his basketball coach at Alabama, who, by the way, has a number one seed and is one of the favorites to win March Madness. We'll hear those comments and discuss coming up next.
Now back to Ian Furness.
That's the horn! No good! No good! No good!
On your exclusive home for the buzzer-beating coverage of March Madness.
All right, we're back. 49451. Tell the more new text line 49451. When it's game time, it is Tully time. And I'll tell you, this thing is just. We got any general contractors listening to the show, and you want to come in and fix this piece of blank?
This
little arm, isn't this weird? This is the weirdest arm I've ever seen in radio.
It just kind of falls down every once in a while. It doesn't have like a consistent tension on it.
It's gone limp again.
Do you want mine? Uh-oh.
Is Bucky still? Is he still endorsing that company, Bucky in the Morning?
I think so, yeah,
the Blue Pill Punk Company. Because I think our little mic holder needs it. Okay, so by the way, this just in: LJ Collier has signed a 1-year deal with the Arizona Cardinals. So he is out, part of that 2019 draft class that Devin Bush was in, and like Bush, a first round pick that was not tendered a 5th-year contract by the team. Collier just never lived up. Man, he'd flash for like a second. He was always training camp All-American, you know, one of the best players. Like, I love the training camp All-Americans. And then maybe have a game and then disappear for 3, and then he'd be a healthy scratch. It just never, ever worked out. And you know what? That happens. You miss sometimes. It just happens. But Yeah, he's out and he's gone. So
it's not like he had a ton of guys ahead of him that were producing either. It was just a team that needed some pass rush.
Yeah, they needed something on the defensive line, and he just never gave it to him. So he gets a new start in Arizona, and sometimes that just is the best thing. That's why, you know, Seattle's bringing in guys like Devin Bush. So okay, let me get to this. So we'll mention this with our guy Gary Parrish coming up a little later on. Alabama, and this will all make sense in a moment. I wanted to play it just because it sounds phenomenal, but I think it's an interesting discussion. Alabama's got a freshman defensive back named Tony Mitchell, and he got in trouble over the weekend. He was pulled over in Florida, which I guess is where he's from. The car he was driving had more than $7,000 in cash and 226 grams of marijuana in it. Now, maybe one of our listeners can help us. I'm assuming 226 grams is a lot. Let me harken back to college.
I believe it is.
Let me harken back to college.
Right?
Yeah, actually, that
a
would
visual,
be a lot.
I'm giving like a visual of
I think that's right. Yeah, like a little small baggie would be a gram, right?
Yes.
That's a gram, like a little baggie of marijuana or as the kids call it, flour, would be... Am I right?
Oh, yeah. You're just cultured today, Ian. I love it.
I am. Yeah, so 226.
Hello there, fellow kids.
Yeah, thank you very much. Listen, I went to college in the 80s, man. I'm trying to figure this out. Yeah, I think that is a lot, 226 grams of marijuana. So he's been charged with marijuana possession and intent to sell and distribute. He also tried to flee police and hit 141 miles an hour before he was pulled over. Okay, that's the context of that. Nick Saban is the head coach at Alabama. This kid's a five-star stud coming into this to his team this year. Difference maker, one of the best players coming out of high school in the country. Here is Nick Saban yesterday.
Tony Mitchell has been suspended from the team on all team activities until we gather more information about the situation and what his legal circumstance is. And, guys, everybody's got an opportunity to make choices and decisions. There's no such thing in being at the wrong place at the wrong time. You got to be responsible for who you're with, who you're around, and what you do, who you associate yourself with, and the situations that you put yourself in. So it is what it is, but there is, you know, cause and effect when you make, you know, choices and decisions that put you in bad situations.
No such thing as wrong place and wrong time. That's the head football coach at Alabama, normally a number one team in the country in football. The Alabama Crimson Tide basketball team is the top basketball team in the country, the number one overall seed in basketball for March Madness, still in the tournament. They have a head coach named Nate Oates. He would work in the same athletic department as Nick Saban, both number one guys. Nate Oates came out with Brendan Miller and said his star at freshman basketball player, when he brought a gun to another teammate to go shoot somebody, he said, wrong place, wrong time. Nick Saban knew exactly what he was saying there. Like, exactly what he was saying there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Coach-on-coach crime in the same athletic department, I'm all here for it, man. I'm here for it all day long, Roll Tide.
I have to give, I love the drama. I have to give Jason Puckett credit for this, though. I mean, you know, Nick Saban's in spring ball. Mm-hmm. And the basketball teams in the tournament. Uh-huh. Like, you think if they were in the college football playoff, he'd have the same reaction?
I think so. I would think so, only in the sense that, and we'll see what Gary Parrish says. The more I read up on this, the more you kind of get the understanding that Saban was pretty embarrassed by what happened with the basketball program.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just a guy, wrong place, wrong time, that brought a gun somewhere. The guy that was involved in the shooting was also on the basketball team. Like, that reflects really poorly on the entire university. And if I kind of think about it, I might be wrong here, and maybe somebody will text in and say, Furness, you forgot about this. Like, Alabama football players, I think, behave pretty well. Like, I think there's the fear of God in them with him. Like this guy runs a tight, tight ship.
And you've got everything to lose. You're playing Alabama football.
You're an NFL player.
Yeah, like, exactly. You at least have the chance.
You're going to at least go, yeah, you are playing with everything on the line. And yeah, Puck's right. It's different because it's spring practice. It's totally different. But here's what he also did. This is what I think I really like, is he suspended him until they knew more about it. Didn't say he's been kicked off the team, didn't care, you know, one way or the other, arrest, no arrest, all that kind of thing. He just says, we need to find out more information. Now, by all accounts, when the sheriff's department report says driving a car, $7,000 in cash, 226 grams of marijuana. Again, he was driving the car with that money.
141 miles per hour.
Yeah, and he tried to elude police going 141 miles an hour. But they're waiting to see. In the meantime, he has been suspended. Now, most college football players will tell you the best thing that could happen is get suspended for spring football. Unless you're a freshman, you're trying to make your name, that's a different deal. Like, guys have been around for a while going, oh, that's my old co-host, Jason Sakanik in Portland, used to always laugh. He's like, man, best time to get surgery, early March. Best time to get in trouble, early March.
Oh, there's several clinics that advertised for that Thursday, Friday recovery time.
But he was a starter. You know, he was a starter. Yeah. So, but I think if you're a young guy, no, I think there's no doubt that it's easy to say that Saban's doing it because it's spring. And that might be true. I just think from all indications down there, that seems like it's a embarrassment for him. And I don't think that's not who Nick Saban wants to be associated with. It frankly is embarrassing what that Alabama basketball program has done. I mean, it really is. First of all, you bring in a guy, you know, and you don't know going in, but oh my God, I mean, Darius Miles, are you kidding? You know, they've got full-time armed guards around that program right now, which probably puts other programs on campus in a threat too. Like, that's the other part of it, is that they have full-time bodyguards for the basketball program because of Miller. And then on top of that, you know, they're also on campus. They're in the athletic facilities practicing. That puts everybody else in jeopardy too. Well, I'm sure that has him sideways pissed right now.
And it's different circumstances too. Like Tony Mitchell, yes, going 140 miles an hour with a bunch of weed and money in your back of your car doesn't look great optically, but it doesn't involve a death of someone where
But the intent to distribute is interesting because you know, I don't know. I guess we'd have to look up. I don't know. Florida has, if you can buy marijuana in Florida, I'm assuming Alabama.
Recreationally, no, I don't believe so yet.
Alabama.
I was just looking it up.
By the way, how much?
In Florida, right?
Yeah. How much? Is that 226 grams?
That's 7.5 pounds. Yeah.
It's a half a pound.
Yeah. Half a pound.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Spicoli, you're not just smoking that all on your own.
Well, I was going to say, if he is smoking it all on his own, like, that's another issue, too, if you were going to use all that.
Yeah, that's a whole different... We'll talk
you know
to...
What? I brought this up. I posed the question to you whether or not you think that Nick Saban would, you know, would suspend him if they're in the college football playoff. Now he kind of has to. He just set his own precedent for his own future. He has that on the record. We're all talking about it right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when it comes to all of Alabama athletics... Now he has set his own path for how he'll do with things in the future, and so he's under his own pressure now.
Yeah, he did set the bar for himself. He absolutely set the bar for himself. But I we'll see what Parrish has to say about this. I know Gary's been very outspoken about the situation with the basketball program, and they're still, you know, the number one team in the country. They're still the favorite to win the whole thing, along with Houston. So we'll talk to him about that coming up a little bit later on as well. Man, half a pound of marijuana, dude. Come on, Cheech and Chong fella. Like, what are you doing?
That's dried up leaves. they're pretty light. Again, to get to a half a pound.
The technical term is flower.
Yeah.
It's the flower. You can do edibles or you can do the flower. The flower is puff puff, right?
Yes. Oh, yes, Ian. You got it right.
Don't forget to pass.
Most hip old guy in the station, I'll tell you that right now. No doubt about it. All right, 49451 is the Tullamore text line, 49451 when it's game time.
It's deli time.
Well done. Okay, good job. I'll come back. We've got a different take. We'll preview the tonight's hockey game, but also a little other thing to ask you about and tell you about as well coming up next.
Malkin shoots one in on goal, deflection, they score! It's Crosby!
In front, Kucherov, score!
This is the Daily Power Play.
Deep slot, one-timer, McKinnon. He scores!
McDavid with a finish.
Now, Ian Furness on Sports Radio 93.3.
This is the Battle of Alberta we've been waiting for.
KJR FM.
KJR is the home, of course, of the Seattle Kraken. 93.3 KJR FM, the Kraken Audio Network. Mike Benton is the Captain Kirk of that enterprise, and he flies that thing through the NHL spaces each and every day and night. Tonight's game night. He'll be on the air at 5 o'clock pregame show. Drop of the puck from Dallas, 5:30, when the Kraken take on the Dallas Stars tonight. I don't know if this is a surprise. I guess the more I think about it, I'm not surprised. When I first saw it, I was surprised. But Kraken will start Joey Decord in goal tonight. He'll get the start over Martin Jones as Philip Grubauer is still not feeling well. It has been a great year so far for Joey Decord. He's got a save percentage close to 92%, goals against average, sub 2.5. He's done a really nice season in the AHL. He's got one game this year with the Kraken and one win with the Kraken. It came on the road, stopped 36 of 40 against Calgary in Alberta. Only has a couple wins in his career. This will be his 13th career start. It says two things. One, Martin Jones is not a guy that they can put in goal right now and trust to get a win for them. And they need points. They really need points. Hell, even a loser point tonight's fine. But you need points. And they don't trust Jones to get it done. And Decord's had a nice year, so they're going to give him a go. Hopefully Grubauer's back by the time they get to the Nashville two-step later on this week. Kraken are still solidly in the postseason, but 83 points, the number one wildcard team. They've got two games in hand on the number two wildcard team. Winnipeg's played 71, Seattle's played 69. Calgary also has played two more than Seattle at 71. They're the first team out with 77 points. They're six behind Seattle. Nashville, the only other team in contention. They're at 76. Seven behind Seattle. Remember, 2 points for a win, 1 point for an overtime loss or shootout loss. So Seattle's in decent shape, but Calgary and then two against Nashville. It's a big week for Seattle. So we'll see what they can do with Decord in goal tonight, getting the start over Martin Jones. Again, 5 o'clock, pregame, 5:30 is the drop of the puck. Okay, you can bring the music down. I want to get to this. So news came out on Saturday. They had a matinee game on Saturday, the Kraken. And I got a couple texts from people and just saying, hey, did you hear what happened? Did you hear what happened in the press box? And I said, oh, God. And then at first I thought it was like somebody getting a couple media guys drop the gloves and go, like, what's going on? That would have been far better. Instead, found this out that before the game on Saturday, a gentleman by the name of Andy Ide, who is a longtime hockey writer in this area, and for many years, to be honest with you, was the only hockey writer in this area. Jeff Baker from the Seattle Times was doing some stuff and had done some stuff, but Jeff was doing Sounders or Business of Sports and other things. Andy was an independent writer, worked for a number of different entities, NHL.com, among others. And he also was doing some stuff and has been doing some stuff with Sound of Hockey. John Barr is on that. Of course, we've had John and Darren Brown on our show before. Sound of Hockey does a terrific job. So he's got his fingers in a lot of different pots, does a lot of different things. But for many years, Andy was the only writer full-time doing hockey. He covered the Western Hockey League, a lot of Thunderbird games, Everett Silvertip games, NHL draft, and really was kind of the guy holding the torch for local journalism in hockey. Well, before the game on Saturday in the press box, Andy suffered a massive stroke. He collapsed. Paramedics got there right away. They took him to Harborview, and he has been in intensive care since. Now, there is a good update today. This is courtesy of my buddy John Barr, NHL to Seattle, who passed this along, courtesy of his Mary Bridge journal. A few improvements this morning. The breathing tubes are out. He's just on oxygen, able to open his eyes and give a thumbs up. He's still heavily sedated, looking at a few more days in the ICU. But I bring this up because Andy's one of the nicest people I've met. And if you're a hockey fan, he's one of the people you should be in debt to because he carried the torch. He did so much and has done. I don't want to talk past tense, but he has done so much in the past with the sport and keeping it out there and keeping it in front. Like, we're an NHL city now, but for a long time we were a Western Hockey League city.
Right.
Times two, basically. But that's a hard thing. You're way down on the food chain. And I've been lucky enough. Andy's done a bunch of different things. Obviously, he writes, does the podcast The Sound of Hockey, and also is involved. He's done some radio on the Thunderbird broadcast, the Tom Boyning, and he's done a handful of TV games. When I was still doing the TV games before Benton started doing them, I did a handful of TV games on Fox Plus as well and did color for me. In fact, we did a bunch of games during COVID year, you know, having to stand 10 feet apart, couldn't hear each other. I mean, he's a pro's pro, man. He's a good dude, and he loves the sport. That's just a passion for the sport, and he's battling it right now. So I'll tweet out the link, but there is a GoFundMe. Maybe you can tweet it out from the station account
yes,
as well.
I can.
There's a GoFundMe out there to help pay for the expenses. Like I said, he's got his hands in a lot of different things, but obviously at this time could use a little bit of help financially too. I looking at the list of people that you know, you can do it anonymously, which is kind of nice. But looking at some of the names on there, the Kraken have been big supporters of what he's done. Some of the Thunderbird people as well, which is cool to see. But he's got a long road ahead. There's some things we got in the works to maybe help him out as well that we can't get into right now that I'll bring up on the show later on that Jeff and others are working on. But, yeah, thoughts out go to Andy because he is just a terrific person, a great guy, and he is really Mr. Hockey Journalism in this town. And so get well, Andy. Get well soon, my friend. Can't wait to see you back in the press box and covering the games and doing your podcast with John and Darren as well. And again, we'll tweet out the information if you want to help out. Okay. We'll take a break. Come back. Gary Parrish is joining us next. CBS Sports, CBSSports.com, talking all things March Madness.